Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
It's already damaged so many and shattered so many lives. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Tis the season to smile, be happy, and spend it with family, but that's not the thing to do, according to what the top doctors are saying. When you look at 282,000 deaths in the U.S. out of 14.8 million cases, our friends across the world, if you wrap in our deaths, 1.54 million worldwide, total cases 67 million. So we all live under the great big question mark, and the question mark is growing because of Operation Warp Speed, which is a good thing, meaning let's decrease deaths, especially among the elderly, by the end of January. It's looking like that is a safe bet. But you have other aspects of this that have to be dealt with. For example, what happens to the unemployment, the sick leave, housing aid, all of that expires in weeks. There are people that are on the verge of financial ruin through no fault, obviously, of their own. So deadlines are now pressing up against what Congress is doing over this $908 billion stimulus package. What happens if it doesn't roll? People will be rolled. That's what will happen. Because you have 25 aid programs from Congress that will expire. Poof, gone, done. Things that people need. If you look at the food lines, and thank goodness for the wonderful people working the food lines, I have a friend whose family is doing it, and they constantly emphasize, no shame, no shame, no shame, who cares? We're all in this together, and the people are facing all kinds of problems. And lots of people pull up that are middle-class, suburban folks who had jobs, lost jobs, and need to feed families. So this bipartisan deal is uniting two parties that we haven't seen in a long time. Let's face it, that's the good news. And let's get this rolling. Mitch McConnell even said that it looks like we're interested, all of us, in this outcome, and we're pushing to make this happen. So that's great. Anything that can get needed money into the hands of people who completely ejected, basically, from their homes and find themselves living in cars, if they even have cars in some cases, because people are selling things that they have to sell to survive, right? And then you have the other aspects of this nasty virus and where it leaves all of us. And each day there's always somebody famous and then everybody else who gets announced as part of these COVID numbers. The latest is Rudy Giuliani. He tested positive for coronavirus. He's in the hospital. He was around a lot of people who weren't masked in Michigan, and he was also around some people who weren't masked in some other areas where he was the last week. So there were a lot of Trump supporters and the president himself that were supporting Giuliani, of course, along the way and saying, you know, this guy is a guy who was by far one of the greatest mayors in the history of New York City. And he's tested positive for, as the president tweeted, the China virus. He said, get better soon, Rudy. We will carry on. And remember, he traveled to Michigan, Arizona, Georgia last week, met indoors with state legislators to push or persuade them to overturn the president-elect Joe Biden's victory. So you had lots of videos that showed that Giuliani wasn't wearing a mask during the meetings, and neither were some of the people around him. That doesn't mean they didn't do, you know, temperature checks and all that other sort of stuff. But it does mean that the president's personal attorney tested positive, and they're telling the people that were around him to monitor their health for fear that perhaps they could have gotten COVID-19. They don't know, of course, where he got it, and then it's all about that whole tracing thing and trying to figure out, you know, where it all ends up. And then as we get to the end of the year and then we swing into a new year, we have students who have lost so much time in classrooms, and how badly do they need to have that socialization to be back in schools. Now, there's some people that do homeschooling and do it quite well and feel like they, yes, missed the socialization with other things they were participating in. But since the outbreak of the pandemic, you have administrators, principals, teachers, and, of course, parents who are losing their minds, who are trying to help students in the learning process and re-racking what curriculums were like, dealing with remote learning, and so many unaccustomed to troubleshooting tech problems. And I think we can all say and be united in that. When you work for an organization, you have tech guys. Where's the IT guy? Oh, I can't get this. What happened? No, you're the IT guy. Or else you have to find someone else to come in. And that's caused a lot of interesting moments for families, for schools. It's been rough, hasn't it? 2020. I think the word is weary. Somebody asked me that today. How do we feel? Weary. Not to whine, but we are weary. So even Anthony Fauci, the top doc, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said, close the bars, keep the schools open. He's saying it. He's saying it's not one size fits all, and it's not, because there's some schools where they really couldn't do it because of the local health conditions and whatever the capabilities are. But if they can, then that's the thing to do, right? So you look at private and public charter schools, and they've brought children and staff back into the classroom. They have strict safety protocols, wearing masks, social distancing, ventilation, have to have that proper ventilation, but it's working for them. But I can only imagine how many kids get lost in the middle of all of this. Boy, it has been rough. And then it's all about the vaccine and the numbers. And you, many of you, sent your thoughts about that over the weekend. We're hitting the mailbag around the bend.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, Please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged, in a sense, against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is sponsored by Amazon. This holiday season, Amazon is delivering smiles to charities across the country with the help of celebrity partners Gabrielle Union and Ali Raisman. And it's easy for customers to join them in giving back. Kate Scarpa, Amazon spokesperson.
We're proud to support charities that have been impacted by the challenges of this year. And customers can also join us in giving back by shopping through Amazon Smile. By starting at smile.amazon.com, customers can find incredible holiday deals, low prices, and convenient shopping, with the added bonus that Amazon will donate a portion of their purchase price directly to the charity of their choice at no cost to them.
Customers can also donate items to charities directly at smile.amazon.com/charity lists, where nonprofits create wish lists of the items needed most. Additionally, shoppers can donate to Toys for Tots by saying, "Alexa, donate to Toys for Tots," or make a monetary donation to a charity of their choice by saying, "Alexa, I want to make a donation." Learn more and give back this season at smile.amazon.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Over the weekend, boy, full mailbag. It's virtual mail, otherwise I would not be able to talk. I would just be covered in mail, so thanks for that. We go to this one from Doug, who says, "Kate, what do you make of Barr deciding to resign early? What do you think is behind that?" Yeah, you know, there was a big thing, and I think this is what you're talking about, in the New York Times. That's where that all leaked out. And the whole thing about voter fraud and overturning the election and the multiple incidents of the president declining to issue a public support of confidence in Barr, I think, is sending him to, I see the handwriting on the wall. And because remember, he denied there was evidence of any voter fraud to do the thing with the election, overturn the election, or any of that kind of stuff. So I think because of that, he realizes, yeah, if you're not loyal, you're out. And if that's what it's looking like, I think it's a bail move. Meaning, just I'm jumping off the train because I'm gonna get ixnayed anyway. The White House isn't talking about it. Of course, the Justice Department isn't talking about it. There's reports that they had a pretty hot meeting during the week last week, and that the president is frustrated that there's been no public action in Special Counsel John Durham's investigation of the Russia investigators. So I wouldn't be stunned. That makes sense. If he sees that, then he just gets ahead of it. He doesn't have to, but he just gets ahead of it, I think, is probably what the play is there, and that's why that is. All right, how about this one from Michael, who is listening to us in the great state of West Virginia. Hey, Kate, listen to you on The Watchdog. Rudy G. hospitalized for COVID. You know he's getting the best medicine. I can't imagine he doesn't come out of this, even though he's deep into his 70s. And, yeah, he was definitely seen without masks on around lots of people around him that didn't have masks on, especially at that one state house hearing. I think you mentioned it even last week in Michigan. So maybe it's not a surprise because of the amount of people that were around him. But whenever you have the 70-plus age, it's, of course, higher risk for the whole virus thing. So I can't imagine that he's gonna not bounce out of it. I think he will, and that's why they finally released the fact that he was in the hospital. So get well, Rudy G. It's been interesting to watch him, what he's been doing with the president, and certainly I was a big supporter of his when he was the mayor of New York. Yeah, I think he's at Georgetown University in D.C., and he was in all those different states, and you're right. I can't imagine that he won't get the best. He will get the best. So that's the key, right? All right, how about this? This one is from George. Kate, I heard you talking about the U.K. and the fact that they were really on top of it with their live data and what they were doing during the clinical trials, and that we weren't doing that. And so therefore, it's faster for them, and it looks like in Britain, they've got the biggest ever immunization program that's going to be kicked off that we're all watching because they're going to go first. And I guess they're rolling it out next week. Is all that true? What are the deets on that? Yeah, about 800,000 doses will be there for Tuesday. The British Health Secretary called it V-Day, which was, of course, also a nod to triumphs in World War II, if you think of the date. And they're ready. They've got the deliveries are landing on Monday, I guess, and the VAC trial for them was around 95% efficiency, and they're going to be administered at about 50 hospital hubs in England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. They're all going to begin their vaccine rollouts the same day. And, the United States, of course, hoping to start vaccines later this month, but the Brits beat us to it again with the whole live rolling thing that they did. And then, of course, waiting to go through all the data, because that's what you have to do. They have to get stamped. You know, it's interesting. I'm just going to throw this in because you've got the three ex-presidents who are going to do their vaccines live to show people it's safe or to illustrate that, including Bush. You know, so Bush, Clinton, and Obama. Buckingham Palace is not talking about the Queen. You know, she's 94 and Prince Philip is 99. Are they going to be vaccinated? You would think they're going to be vaccinated right away. And then would they make it public, because that would be their way to reassure anyone nervous about getting a vaccine, but they're not saying at this point. So it's going to be pretty interesting to watch what happens in England. And of course, that's the whole idea. It gets rolled out. We watch it. We see what's happening there. All right, let's move to another one. This one is from John. Hi, Kate. Hope you had a great weekend. I think you said you were Christmas tree shopping, or last week you were talking about Christmas tree shopping. That's good. I think we all need distractions as long as we mask up. I was one of those no-maskers in the beginning. In fact, I weighed in on one of your polls. Now I am a masker because why not? It's not a big deal. And I don't know why I made a big deal about it before. I guess I didn't want it over my face. I thought I was safe. But I certainly don't want to cause anyone any problems whatsoever. We got a Christmas tree, and I just wanted to say, go Douglas fir. That is my favorite tree, and we were able to get one, and it was fun. We did it with the people that we are quarantining with, And it was a good relaxing thing to do. And I say anything that can relax you is a good thing, as I believe you would also concur. Yes, anything that can relax us, because we are tired, we are weary of this, even those hardy of us. And you got to keep living, right? Just got to keep moving, living, doing what you can. And the Douglas fir, that's a nice, you know what, that's a nice tree. Douglas fir is a nice, nice tree. So I'm assuming Oregon pine, probably it's North America, right? And my mother used to love Douglas fir. That was her favorite. And that's if you can get them. I mean, and if it's a full tree too, that's the other thing. For me, it's about the tree being full, no matter what. I just want to have some branches that I can see. It's thick branches. That would be really, really nice. And I did get one. And I did get one that was full. All right, let's go to this one. Patrice, who is listening to us in the great state of Florida. Hi, Kate. Floridians are ready for their vaccines. Even some of the most skeptical friends I have want to get it. They're tired of feeling restricted or not being restricted and gambling with whether they should be where they're going. And it's just a very, very confusing time, I think, for everyone, don't you think? And do you think that there will be an order with the new president to have a mandatory COVID vaccine? No, I don't think there would be at all. In fact, Biden said on Friday, because of course these are so many questions out there, Biden said he wouldn't try to require inoculations for COVID-19, that he wouldn't make it mandatory, he wouldn't demand that he would do everything in his power to, you know, tell people, encourage them to do it, and demonstrate that it matters, show that it matters, but not make it a mandatory, thing. And we have to have the FDA approval, and, you know, that's probably a week and a half, 2 weeks away, and then we go from there anyway with that. And the one thing I think that it's been widely reported, even we mentioned it, that he's saying that he's going to ask, Biden is saying that he's going to ask all Americans to wear a mask for 100 days if inaugurated as president, of course, and do it for 100 days in the middle of what would be, of course, the raging crisis, and the vaccine then gets distributed, and then he says the deaths would drop off, which, of course, one can only hope that that's what we see happening, that less people are having these sad stories of, oh, they were very healthy and then this happened. Or look at teachers and any of the essential workers, or the doctors, of course, also fall into that category, and how many of them were exposed and just could not come out of it because of their exposure to too many people with COVID-19. All right, hang with us, and I will meet you on the other side.
Million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United States has set another new record high for people hospitalized with COVID-19. According to new data from the COVID Tracking Project, more than 101,000 Americans were hospitalized with the disease Sunday as new cases also continue to rise. Dr. Deborah Birx says that while a vaccine is critical, it won't help with the current surge. She tells NBC's Meet the Press that it is critical to keep wearing masks and social distancing now before the vaccine arrives.
So there are good examples that can help preserve the lives of others, but I want to be very frank to the American people. The vaccine's critical, but it's not going to save us from this current surge. Only we can save us from this current surge, and we know precisely what to do. So if you have loved ones that you want to protect, you have to follow these guidelines now.
This is USA Radio News. A deal may be coming together for a coronavirus stimulus bill, but the plan that will be released on Monday won't contain another direct payment to Americans. The initial stimulus bill contained a $1,200 check for most Americans, something negotiators say will not be part of this new bill. Senator Joe Manchin says the stimulus bill is something that has to be done. The West Virginia Democrat told NBC's Meet the Press that they've focused on keeping a number of programs going that were started in the first relief bill.
After the election, we started coalescing around how do we move this forward. And we looked at basically everything that was going to terminate at the end of December. The lifelines that people are depending on, whether it be food assistance, whether it would be shelter, whether it be health care, whether the necessities that people have, child care that's needed to try to get our lives back. All the things we're going to be eliminated, Chuck. And we said that can't be done. We cannot allow this to happen. Democrats and Republicans came together, and we're moving forward.
This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Wow, excited this time around to take you to Nigeria and introduce you to a very smart man who will make you very smart if you pay attention to what he has written. His book is called Mastering the Art of Managing Money. Shafi Ndansa joins us now. And Shafi, one of the things that stuck out to me in the brief conversation that we had before we jumped on the air together is your analogy of And she's written a book called One of the King's Men, and it's a fascinating story about the life of her son, Cameron. And there's a unique twist to this, which we're going to talk about here during our conversation. But this is a great, this would be a great Christmas gift, honestly. But this is a book that you could read anytime, and you will get lost in this story. So, Estelle, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It's a great thrill to be able to speak about the wonderful life that Cameron led.
So tell us about Cameron and what happened with Cameron.
Well, when I was expecting Cameron, I was thinking that, okay, they said it was a big baby, but Tony, my second child, had been 9 pounds 5, and I thought, yeah, okay, well, that's all right. Cameron will be fine. They said he'd be 10 pounds. Well, he was just over 10 pounds. However, when during the delivery and, well, during the my stay in the hospital leading up to the delivery, there were all sorts of problems with this boy, and he got stuck. And he was round the wrong way. He was sort of like upside down and inside out and everything else he could be, but bit straight, you know. So I said to my husband, how about you go and ring up the men from church, because they'll be having their once a month morning prayer breakfast at the moment, and they really need to stop eating cornflakes and start praying, because the doctors had just told me that they were going to have to cut the baby up and take him out piece by piece, because there was nothing else that they could do to preserve my life. And they said he had had no heartbeat or pulse for 13 hours, so he wasn't alive, so there was no point in trying to save his life. So off went my husband to speak to the men, and about a minute after he came back, the doctors having cut me, yes, mightily, as I was watching the doctor with all the horrible-looking equipment that he was about to attack my baby with, the little boy was born, much to everybody's surprise.
Wow.
They took the cord from around his neck, unwrapped it three times, took him away. He wasn't breathing. They gave him oxygen, and a very surprised-looking nurse came back and said, you have a baby boy, and it looks as though he's all right. And I thought to myself, this kid's going to be kind of special, because he was born right into the prayers of those men from church. So he's not going to be just an ordinary kid. Well, Cameron lived up to that amazingly, to the extent that his first sentence that he ever uttered was not just a sentence, it was a pronouncement. He tapped the tray of his high chair, got everybody's attention, and declared, "God's not dead." And that's the way he lived his whole life. When he was 3 years old, he came out of his bedroom and he said to me, "Mum, why do they do the pictures of Jesus with the nail prints there and there on Jesus' palms, and they should be there and there on his wrists?" And I said to him, "Oh, really, Cameron? Are they? Is that where they are? How do you know that?" As this is a three-year-old we're talking to. And he said to me, with the biggest smile all over his face, "When Jesus was in my room last night and he held out his hands and he smiled at me, I saw them. They are there and there on his wrists." So I thought, yeah, we've got a special one here. And Cameron just continued to live his life like that for the whole 14 years that he had. He would talk to me frequently about heaven, and not just heaven, but always going home to heaven. Mm. And I thought to myself, this kid just really doesn't belong on this earth. He just really doesn't. He was a very special boy. He was always loving and kind and obedient, and he loved nature. He loved animals and flowers and plants, and he would go out and talk to the plants. If he'd been away at his grandparents' place for the weekend, when he came back, he'd go out and tell every flower and every plant that he was home and they didn't need to worry. He was going to look after them. So this was Cameron growing up, and he also was a boy who would come and tell me all sorts of amazing things that I knew he hadn't picked up from anywhere that I'd been with him, and he was sort of not anywhere else. He was at preschool and kindy and that kind of thing, but it wasn't a Christian environment. It was just a secular environment, and they were unlikely to tell him the things that he could come out to me with. And I said, "Who's telling you these things?" And he said, "Oh, it's my friend Sonia." So I thought, well, okay, Sonia's extremely wise. I suppose she's Cameron's age, but she sort of talks as though she's 1,000 years old. Anyway, as he got older and up to 8 and 9 and 10 years old, when he wouldn't necessarily want to be heard of or seen sitting near a girl, never mind Sonia, mm-hmm. and he was still talking about Sonia, I said to him, "You know, well, who is this Sonia, Cameron?" Because he had told me that he'd come home on the school bus with Sonia, and she was so rude, which was an amazing thing for him to say. And I said, "What do you mean she's so rude?" And he said, "She brought Michael, and they talked across the top of my head. I might as well have not been there." But I had seen him on the bus before he got off, and there was no girl sitting next to him, never mind any Michaels on the other side. So I said to him, "Well, where was she sitting?" And he said, "On my shoulder." And I thought, well, That's a novelty. Who else has people on their shoulder on the school bus? And where was Michael? On the other shoulder. They talked across the top of my head. I might as well have not been there. And I said to Cameron, thinking that this was rather a load for a then 9-year-old to be carrying on his shoulders, so who is Sonia, Cameron? And he said, Mum, she's my guardian angel. Doesn't everybody have a guardian angel that they can see and talk to? And I said, well, no. And I said, and who was Michael? And she said, he said that he was introduced by Sonia to Michael as Michael being the archangel Michael from the Bible. And I thought, well, now that's new. I bet those two didn't buy themselves tickets to be riding on the bus. Anyway, I just kind of kept that to myself because I thought people will think I'm totally crazy. Tony did think I was totally crazy. But, you know, I'll just watch this and see how it pans out. Well, it panned out very interestingly in the end. I got to actually meet Sonia, although I didn't know it at the time, and I spoke to Sonia. The Sonia that I met was not anybody who'd sit on Cameron's shoulder. The Sonia was not a girl, but a man, a male angel, very tall and very powerful, very knowledgeable, obviously. But time went on and Cameron had Jesus visit him in his room at night time. We had little discussions about angels that visited in Cameron's room. I had had to put dark curtains in Cameron's bedroom because although I thought it was a reasonably dark room and very suitable for him to sleep in, he kept informing me that, no, Mum, I can't sleep. I can't sleep for the light. And I'm thinking, what light? There's no light coming into your room. And he said, yeah, Mum, it's really bright. I can't sleep. So I suggested getting a friend to sew some curtains, dark curtains for his room, given the fact that although I can talk, my hands don't work terribly well. I can't sew. And I can't dance and I can't sing and all these other things I can't do. I can't cook, my older son informs me, and he's right. But I can talk. And I have a friend who actually sews with a sewing machine, unlike my attempts with a stapler, as Cameron reminded me. So my friend sewed the curtains and I could manage to hang them up in Cameron's room. And on the first morning after his first night with the curtains, I came into his room to get him up for school and said to him, Cameron, where are you? It's like a cave in here. And I'm over here, Mum, he said. And I said, well, Cameron, don't tell me you couldn't sleep. He said, Mum, I couldn't sleep. I said, well, Cameron, it won't be because of the light. It's so dark. He said, Mum, I couldn't sleep for the light. And I said, what do you mean? What light? And he said, Mum, and this is by now a 13-year-old Cameron. So he's saying to me, Mum, when Jesus is in your room all night, he fills it with light and he fills it with power and you just can't sleep. So
wow.
I thought, oh, okay, Cameron, okay. But the most amazing thing that he said to me was when he was 14 years, 8 months and 1 week old, he said to me when we were in the spa up at the Sunshine Coast, we were living in Brisbane at the time, but we were holidaying on the Sunshine Coast for just a little mini break. And he was there with me. He was in the spa underneath the water. I'm just floating around there, but he's down there counting how many seconds he can survive underwater without breathing. So, and he popped up with water pouring all down his face, all over his blonde hair and everywhere. And he just looked at me and said, Mum, I haven't got long to live. And I thought, well, that's kind of quite an astonishing thing to hear from Cameron, because
right.
I had known from the time he was a year old that he'd be a prophet, but I hadn't expected that he would open his mouth at 14 and prophesy his own death. So I said to him, Cameron, do you think Jesus is coming back for us all that soon? And he said, oh no, Mum, it's not all of us, it's just me. I haven't got long to live. So I comforted myself with the knowledge that perhaps he meant he wasn't going to live to be a really old man, like a 90-year-old or something. Perhaps he was only going to live to be middle-aged or maybe 60 or whatever. And I thought, well, that's okay, because I'll be gone by then and I won't have to wait all that long in heaven, and Cameron will arrive and that'll be rather nice.
Hang on, Estelle, and we'll be back with more of One of the King's Men next.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
With Estelle Everingham, who's written a book called One of the King's Men about her son Cameron. And as we continue down that, wow, hair-raising story, Estelle.
When he told me that at 1:15 in the afternoon on the Sunday the 6th of February 1994, he had exactly 1 week to live to the minute. He was killed in a car accident the following Sunday at 1:15.
Yeah,
on the 13th of February 1994. Unfortunately, his older brother, who was 18 at the time and a licensed driver, was driving the car. It wasn't Tony's fault in any way, shape or form, but he has worn the grief of that like a great coat ever since then. And although he's now a married man, a multimillionaire, he has 6 children and a granddaughter, the grief is still there, and it has formed Tony's life to be in an entirely different direction to what I thought that he would go, because I thought I was raising Cameron, who would be a prophet, and Tony, who would be an evangelist. Well, it's been kind of different to that. But nonetheless, I am inordinately proud of the accomplishments that Tony has made and the the family he has produced and the some of the choices that he's made. And his sister, who's in the book, is called Trina, but her name is actually Angela. She has done ever so well too, but I always expected her to because she's brilliant. She's just a brilliant kid. She's the only person I know who managed to get 100% for senior maths when she was leaving, you know, graduating from high school. Her year 12 assessment for maths was 100%.
Wow.
And she was runner-up to Ducks, and she got, obviously, the maths award. She got the geography award, the history award, English award, and biblical studies award. So she has done very well, which I expected her to do. But Tony's been a real surprise. But, of course, the biggest surprise of all has been Cameron. And I expected that once he had been killed in the accident, well, that would be it. He'd be gone. I hadn't expected that I'd have continuing experiences with Cameron. But I know that he was somebody who walked and talked with God and with angels and with the spiritual realm from the day he was born, or probably beforehand. And I know that he had all sorts of experiences that were far beyond anything that I had ever considered possible for a small child especially. And he would tell us all sorts of things that I'd never heard anywhere before. And later on, you'd hear confirmations. For instance, I remember the day that Cameron had been gone for, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years. And our pastor came whizzing out onto the platform one Sunday and said, I've got a brand new revelation from God. This is straight from the throne room of heaven. And I can't remember what it was, but he told us this whole brand new revelation. And this was the pastor who had both dedicated Cameron to God as a baby and had performed Cameron's funeral service, or his celebration of life service, as it turned out to be. And he was telling us about this wonderful new revelation. And I just looked at my husband when he got to the end of this, gave him a poke in the side and said to him, Cameron told us that when he was 2. So, you know, we had all of these sorts of things happening. I also had an experience with several angels who came to our church one Sunday night. My husband was the lead trumpet player at that church and had been for many years. And I could suddenly, as I was lying on the floor, having been knocked down by the power of the Holy Spirit, not knocked down violently, but just collapsed because his power so overwhelmed any power I had to stand that I was on the floor. And as I was lying there, I could hear 4 trumpets playing, and I thought, now that's really strange. How in the world is my husband managing to do that? So I kind of looked in the direction of the musicians, and I could see 3 great big, like 8-foot tall, angels standing behind my husband, and they all had trumpets as well. And I thought, well, that's really interesting, because I was looking at them with my eyes closed, but I could see them. Obviously, they were appearing in my spirit, and this must have been the sort of thing that Cameron was experiencing too for so many years. And I spoke to them, and they spoke to me briefly and then said they had to go. And I thought, no, 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 don't you dare go. Don't go without showing me heaven, because that's where my boy lives. I've got a boy that lives there. I want to see where he lives. So one of the angels said, okay, 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 I'll just show you and then we've got to go. And the next thing, I was standing in heaven looking at all of these really amazing things that were totally beyond what I could possibly expect to have seen, colours that were beyond the colours on earth, like to the power of 10 manifold, and, you know, sounds, music, happiness, joy, just contentment and peace, and just wonderful. And I thought, wow, this is something so exciting. I'm going to tell I'm going to tell Cameron about this. Anyway, well, not tell him about it, but discuss it with him, you know. And the next weekend at church, I had a most wonderful experience in which I was standing there during the singing and I felt the weight of an arm around my right shoulder, a long arm going right down to my waist from a tall person, much taller than me, standing beside me. And I knew straight away it was Cameron, but not Cameron as I had known him on earth. Cameron much taller, Cameron in a spiritual heavenly body rather than the earthly body he'd had here, but very much Cameron, very, very much Cameron. And he just said, "Mum, take one step with me." And I took a step forward. There was nowhere really to go because there was a row of seats in front of me. So I took a step forward, and the next thing, I'm standing on the streets of gold in heaven with Cameron, and I'm watching people coming from the left, and they were Old Testament people that you read about in the Bible. And then there were people coming from the right, thousands from each direction. And the ones from the right were sort of people from much closer to my time, not Bible type people. And I noticed my mother in that group. She noticed me too. She actually acknowledged me, which was an amazing thing. And they went past and they were going into this great big auditorium. And the thing was that while I was in church, the whole congregation was singing, "Lift up your head to the coming King." And that was the song being sung by the Old Testament saints as they approached the auditorium. Then we sang, "Praise is the power of heaven." And that's what the current Christians in heaven were singing. And when we went in, when they went into the auditorium and Cameron said to me, "Come on, Mum, let's go in too." As soon as I stepped in through the gateway to the auditorium, everybody inside was singing Majesty, which is what we were singing at church then too. I looked around and I thought, good gracious, where are we going to sit? There were thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people crammed in there, and I finally saw two seats together way up high. It was, the seats were on a bank, sort of a not level, but banked so that the people at the back could see over those in front. And I thought, well, there's two seats right up there near the rafters. How in the wide world are we going to get up there? And while I was thinking about that, we were there. And Cameron was in a seat, the seat next to me. But having found two seats, neither of us sat down. When God and Jesus are in the room, you stand. You don't sit down. You're lucky if you can sit. You're likely to be on the floor, but we stood. And there were angels all around the whole perimeter of the whole place, just in the air, dancing in the air and singing, and people were shouting. And oh, it wasn't boring. It wasn't like sitting on some cloud playing a harp. No way. I thought, oh, boy, oh boy, Cameron must just love this. And the look on his face told me I was right.
Wow, so well said. There is nothing left to say after that. I mean, boom, mic drop, amazing storytelling. Estelle Everingham, the name of the book, One of the King's Men. You can pick it up on Amazon. Thanks for sharing that.
You are more than welcome, and I hope people enjoy it. Welcome to Cameron's story. It's an amazing one.
This is sponsored by Amazon. This holiday season, Amazon is delivering smiles to charities across the country with the help of celebrity partners Gabrielle Union and Ali Raisman. And it's easy for customers to join them in giving back. Kate Scarpa, Amazon spokesperson.
We're proud to support charities that have been impacted by the challenges of this year. And customers can also join us in giving back by shopping through Amazon Smile. By starting at smile.amazon.com, customers can find incredible holiday deals, low prices, and convenient shopping, with the added bonus that Amazon will donate a portion of their purchase price directly to the charity of their choice at no cost to them.
Customers can also donate items to charities directly at smile.amazon.com/charity lists. where nonprofits create wish lists of the items needed most. Additionally, shoppers can donate to Toys for Tots by saying, Alexa, donate to Toys for Tots, or make a monetary donation to a charity of their choice by saying, Alexa, I want to make a donation. Learn more and give back this season at smile.amazon.com.